Thank you, David. Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you're all doing well this cool Sunday morning. People always ask me, are you sorry you left Arizona? And I always say, no, I'm happy to see cool weather once in my life, you know. And next Sunday, it's even going to be cold, so I'm even looking forward to that. I have titled my sermon, all I got to do is figure out where my mouse is. Well, it's not going to work for me. Of course, it's not going to work. Technology. It's always fun. And my mouse disappeared again. Well, we'll try something else. Yeah, that works.
Yep.
I entitled my sermon, Give Your Best. And I think about this season which we're in, and about the people that came before us, that came to this land and had to start a nation. I didn't think about this originally. I started making notes on this sermon a long time ago, and you'll be happy to know that the notes that would be about a four-hour sermon have been condensed to much shorter. But then all of a sudden, when I was in Dubai, Brother Dwayne told me he's never preached a Thanksgiving sermon. He has to preach today. I go, oh yeah, this is Thanksgiving. So I thought, well, I need to add a little Thanksgiving in there too. So the sermon got a little longer again. But besides that, we're going to look at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, as I remember it, we taught in school long ago that it was one of the first celebrations of surviving a harsh winter and being thankful for the crops that they had throughout the summer and were able to survive. So I did a little research, and boy, what I found researching sounded a whole lot different than what I learned when I was in school. You know, back when I was in school, it was a lot closer to those days of Thanksgiving than it is now. But now they say this first celebration took place between September and November in 1621, although some of the accounts put it in 1618. It says there was 52 English people and at least 90 Wampanoag, I can't say, I have no idea, some Indian tribe, and I've never heard of them before, and including their chief. Historians also believe that there were only 5 women at that feast. I guess they were all in the kitchen cooking the food and not asked to eat the food. I don't know, but he said there were only 5 women. The menu was likely venison, shellfish, corn, cabbage, onions, and squash. Colonists didn't have potatoes, and it's unlikely that they had cranberry sauce. So when do we start celebrating this holiday from this first Thanksgiving? In the middle of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln, prompted by a series of editorials written by Sarah Hale, proclaimed a national holiday to be celebrated on the 26th, the final Thursday of November 1863. And if you keep searching, it says George Washington also set up Thanksgiving as a national holiday. So some first president did this, and here we are today. You know, it doesn't say it, and it's totally unlikely that turkey was on the menu during the first Thanksgiving. In fact, it was not until the Saturday Night Post in March 6, 1943, published this picture. And this picture is called Freedom from Want. That's why we're so elaborate with our meals, because we have this freedom from want. We don't want much that we can't obtain. And it's because we are greatly blessed. But when people saw this picture, they decided we have to live like that. It changed the way Americans held Thanksgiving. They wanted their family gathered around the table. They wanted everything that could be possibly had at their table. And they all wanted a turkey. And probably most of you will be having turkey on Thursday. Maybe not all, but maybe most of you. So we really, as we meet this week, as we consider this week, as we meet and eat our turkey, consider that great sacrifice, that great devotion to survival, to starting a new nation of freedom that our forefathers gave. And we need to be thankful for it. But we also, I would like us to remember that as they gave their lives and paid the price for this freedom that God refers to as a land of promise, a land choice above all other lands in which we live today, that they had to give their very best. It wasn't a casual effort. If they didn't get up every day and tend to their crops and fix their roofs and care for their animals out in the cold and labor with their mites, we wouldn't be sitting here today, because they would have all perished. They gave their best. Yeah. And through that, that's the title of my sermon, They Gave Their Best. I'm going to switch gears, but not to a new path, but just a gear switch. If you know who this is, raise your hand. There's a few of you that know who this is. That's good. That's why I didn't want you. I was afraid maybe you wouldn't know. And I thought, tell me who it is. I don't want you to tell me, because we're going to have some other people. I'm going to give you another picture. Now, is there any more people that didn't raise their hand the first time that knows who this is? Okay, we picked up a couple of more. If you don't know who this is Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky, you know, since this sermon came to me, and it came to me because of Wayne Gretzky, I preached it to myself many times, and I'm going to preach it to myself again today. I'm just going to allow you to listen in. And if it applies to you, feel free to think about it and adjust. But this Wayne Gretzky guy is what prompted my thoughts. And I'm going to tell you some statistics about his career. He is a hockey player, an ice hockey player. And the prelude to the story, I would like to share a little bit with you about his early career, his achievements in the National Hockey League. Not going to go into great details, but it's quite impressive. Upon his retirement in 1999, he was credited by the NHL record book of holding and sharing 61 NHL records, including 40 regular seasons, 15 playoffs, 6 all-star records. As of today, 24 seasons after retirement, he still holds 57 of those NHL records. He was a part of winning 4 Stanley Cups. He set records in both regular season and postseason playing, holding the record for most career regular season goals, assists, points, and hat tricks. Don't ask me. Gretzky scored the first 1,000 points faster than any other player in the NHL history and scored the second 1,000 faster than any player other than himself. Gretzky still maintains the record for the most career playoff goals, assists, points, hat tricks, and game-winning goals. His 47 playoff points in 1985 are still the most single postseason. His record of 31 playoff assists held for 36 years before being broken. In short, Wayne Gretzky is considered the best hockey player that ever lived. You know, as I said, this sermon is about your best effort. You know, the Apostle Paul says, if you want to win the prize, you have to finish the race. And he was talking about sports, about a marathon, comparing it. And he's telling us that those people, if you ever ran a marathon, it takes effort. I know I ran one. I'm not bragging. Very, very slow. And they said after 13 miles, you hit a wall. That's ridiculous. I hit it like at 12, you know. And it took effort. Even the guys that run it in 2 hours, they are giving effort. And he says, you have to put effort. If you want to finish the race, if you want to have the reward at the end, you have to apply the effort. Now I'm going to go back in history about Wayne Gretzky, this hockey player. He was born and raised in Brantford, Ontario, Canada. Happens to be the only place that the Church of Christ has a local in Canada. That's where the Bavards live. As a child, his family was known by the community because his father was very engaged with the community. He was friendly. He was happy. He was helpful. If you were broke down and he drove by, he'd be stopping to see if he could help you. Everybody knew him. Everybody loved hockey, as did his sons, Wayne and Wayne's brother. They were both hockey players, young guys on the skating rinks there in Canada. And every young man played hockey. It's kind of like football here. They all played hockey. But Wayne and his brother were exceptionally good at the sport. So about him as a young man, there was one particular game that he had to play. And that day, the hockey rink was packed. Hundreds of people came because Wayne and his brother were going to play hockey. Wayne wasn't particularly over enthusiastic that day about playing hockey. He just didn't care. He went out there, he got on the ice, but unlike usual, he didn't score one goal. He just wasn't into it. It wasn't a playoff game or anything. It was just a game. He just didn't care. So after the game, they packed all their stuff up in the trunk and got in the car, and they were headed home. His father pulls in the parking lot, stops, and has a talk with Wayne and his brother. And he explains, those stands were packed today. Why? Because they wanted to watch a bunch of teenagers playing hockey? No, because they wanted to watch you play hockey. They came to see you. And what did you do? You didn't give your best. You didn't try. You disappointed all those fans. that wanted to see your talent. You know, Wayne never forgot that. He used that bit of information, that understanding, that he would have to give the effort, that he would have to apply himself every time he hit the ice. And because of that, because of his attitude, because of the desire to give 100%, he became a legend. Some of you even know who he was from his picture when he was young. He is a legend. He went from a legend on the ice in Canada to the coach in Phoenix, Arizona. I bet that was a culture shock for him. But if he had not learned that lesson, he probably would have just been a mediocre player. Mediocre. So my question is, do you think God is looking for mediocre Christians? You know I had to go there. What else would I do? Let's consider what the Apostle Peter said. In 1 Peter, nine through 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. A chosen generation of God's people, called from the destruction of darkness into the light of Jesus Christ. This is who we are. We have a royal priesthood, one called of God to serve. Mediocre does not come to mind when I read this. He's calling us to a higher standard. He's telling us that we have something to do that requires 100% dedication. What comes to my mind is the people willing to make sacrifice in their life to give their very best. You know, sacrifice is the instruction God gave his people early in history. We're going to look at, I keep trying to find a mouse and it's never there. We're going to look at Numbers 8:18-12. Here's what God told the people. All the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and all the wheat, and first fruits of them, which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. God was calling for the very best from these people. It required sacrifice. The word best here, when you look at the word, if you look it up, comes from a Hebrew meaning the richest, the choicest, the finest part, figuratively. Literally, it means fat. The fat. Lacking, wanting nothing. Give that best. Later, he told them that he had to sacrifice lambs. He said, pick your best lamb, one without blemish, one without spot, one without an injury, one that's not crippled. Look through your herd, give me the best. Then later he had to chastise them through the prophet because that's not what they were giving. In the book of Malachi, Chapter 1, 7 through 14. The prophet said, you are polluted, you offer polluted bread upon my altar. You say, wherein have we polluted? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer a lamb, the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer is now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accepted by thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto you. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept any offering at your hand. They didn't give their best, and he says, I have no pleasure in you. I am not going to accept your offering that is not your best. Let's go on. Start at verse 11. For from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said, behold, what is weariness is it? And ye have snuffed it out, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathens. You know, when we do our best, it has potential to affect, to bless, to improve, to touch many beyond what we're expecting. You know, I don't think Gretzky and his brother thought they would affect the world, or at least America, when they played their game. But it did. It encourages, it affects young people that want to go out. We live in a great day. A blessed generation will do much work for the plan of God. We live in a day when we're to serve him with our mights, to give our all, to reach out to others, to be a witness, to bring others into the fold. Many times, giving your best means doing what you don't particularly want to do, what you don't feel like doing, what you're not in the mood to do. But when we think about what we're supposed to do, we're not scored on our goals. We're not scored on our hat tricks, whatever that is. I still don't know what that is. Three goals, he says. Okay, some of you know this. You know, I never watched a hockey game in my life. But we're not keeping score. I don't have a counting of how many administrations I've done, how many sermons I preached, how many prayers I prayed, how many testimonies. It's not how it is. It is, am I seizing the opportunities that are placed before me each and every time? That's what God's looking at. That's what he's going to consider me giving my best, not just when I feel like it, not just when I'm up to it. Give your best in everything, in your testimonies, in your prayers, in your witness, in your attendance to church. You have to diligently seize those opportunities to be considered giving your best. You know, God has provided us with this land of freedom and sufficient where we can come to church unmolested. That's not true around this world. There's many places that they would be molested. Sometimes in January, I plan to go to Saudi Arabia. There's a man there that Brother Brickhouse talked to for 4 years. I've talked to for the last year. He moved from Egypt to Saudi Arabia. He wants to be baptized in the Church of Christ. He was born and raised a Muslim. And he knows that if he converts and they find out, they will take his life. He's willing to give his best. Now here I'm on the other side going, and they find out I went there and baptized him, off with your head, you know. Am I willing to give my best? It's a hard thing to think about. I haven't bought the ticket yet. But that's what God's requiring, regardless of the outcome, to give my best. This is what he requires of each and every one of us. We have these opportunities before us. Are you giving your best? As a minister, are you giving your best? The people have come here to hear the sermon. Have you prepared? Have you given your best to give unto them what they stand in need of? As a Christian, you have opportunities of applying yourself to help others, to look for those that are looking for the truth that you might encounter and witness unto them. In the Book of Mormon, Jacob is speaking to a people concerning Zeno's vision and a vision of his servants, the restored church, the ministry of it, laboring in the field with all their might to share the gospel, to make converts the last day. And in Jacob 4, 10 through 12, it says, "For behold, after you have been nourished by the good word of God all the day long, will ye bring forth evil fruit, that ye must be hewn down and cast into fire? Behold, will ye reject these words?" You know, this laboring in the field is to recover Israel, but God is no respecter of person. The same thing holds true for us, Gentiles. If you've been nourished by the good word, if you've been encouraged to do your best, if you've been shown the right path, will you reject these words? Sobering words. We're not going to receive a trophy for what we do, for our efforts. What we will receive is eternal life. And if we don't apply ourselves, we're going to be cut off. If we're mediocre, we're going to be hewn down. And after that, well, you read it. What happens? I don't want to say it. You know what it is. Our best effort in every aspect of our life is what God is asking and expecting from us, the restored Church of Christ. This Thanksgiving, in the next few days, we're going to celebrate the sacrifice of our forefathers. Freedom, which came from God. Let us remember what they did. Let us remember it is our duty to give our best. You know, Jesus said, he gave a parable. He said, after all you can do, after you give the very best, if you've done more work than anybody else in the Church of Christ, you're still an unprofitable servant. And what he means by that, you still have not done enough to earn the reward that God is going to give you. You can't earn it. It's a gift from God. All the blessings that we have, all the opportunities we have, all the joy we have of this free nation is a blessing from God. So all he's asking of us in return is to give our best to the Master. It is required. May God bless you in this effort.